All right, so I went a little old school this time. I don't have a, I got paper and I got a Bible. No computers, no tablets, none of that. So I went a little old school. So with this message, I was trying to see like what God was speaking about health and wellness, and God just kind of took it and went a completely different way. So I had this whole thing prepared about health and wellness and why you should be healthy and what it does to your mind and, you know, your body through the process of becoming healthy. And then God completely turned it around. And so I want to start off with our scripture in 1 Corinthians 6. And it's all the way at the end of the chapter. It's verse 19 and 20. Yes, sir, 19. And it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And the biggest thing that kind of stood out to me with that whole thing was the fact that your body is supposed to be a temple. So I started thinking, just analytically, you know, what do you do if you have a temple? What would you do first? And, you know, like a temple, it's supposed to be treated with like a reverence. And so my first thing, and I know it probably wouldn't be, I know the first thing that you guys would probably say is you want to fix the outside of it. You want it to look nice on the outside. And I think that that's kind of what we try to do with our bodies. We try to fix up the outside, but it's truly the inside and the foundation that really matters of the temple. And so what's going on the outside, but the better question is what's going on the inside? A temple of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? And Strong's Concordance defines it as the temple of Jerusalem. It's only of the sacred edifice or sanctuary itself, consisting of the holy place and the holy of holies. So that's what your body was meant to be. It was meant to be a resting place for the holy of holies. And so that's why I believe that we're supposed to treat our bodies with a reverence. Amen. So when it says that your body is a temple, the Bible is literally talking about the same way that the temple hosted the presence of God. And we're talking about the place where you had to tie a rope to yourself in case you died in the presence. That's right. That's right. We are the four walls of that presence or of that spirit. If that doesn't mean that you weren't designed for glory, then, you know, I really don't know what does. Amen. So you were basically a walking ark. And God is inside you. And one of my favorite stories about the ark is, you know, like when they were coming into the city and the guys go to brace it when it, like, they hit like a pothole in the road. And the guys go to brace it and they touch it and instantly die. Right. That's like one of, it's because the presence of God is like so strong in that ark. And so like our bodies are the same way. So you are not your own. You were bought with a price. The Message puts it this way. Didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not the same piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. And so in this verse, Paul is really, he's kind of addressing the attitudes of the time. If you go back, you know, to the beginning of this chapter, he's talking to the Corinthians. And in Corinth, there was a temple of Aphrodite. Right. That's right. And so they, in that time, they really believed in this Aphrodite. They believed in many different gods, and Aphrodite was the goddess of love and fertility. So all of these people that Paul is talking to, they're converts from this polytheistic religion. They served the god of what feels good instead of the god that is good. So he is telling them that they can't continue to operate the same way that they have in the past. In these times, Corinth was renowned for temple prostitutes who served wealthy merchants and powerful officials who frequented the city. And there was a man named Horace who is quoted as saying, "Not everyone is able to go to Corinth," which basically means that Corinth is like Las Vegas, in modern-day time Las Vegas. So basically what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. So, but this place has a long, rich history. One of my favorite figures in history is Philip II of Macedonia. And if you guys don't know, he is the father of Alexander the Great. So not only did Corinth have influences from Greek cultures, but also Roman cultures as well. So it was a mashup of these two polytheistic religions. So Paul is addressing multiple religions and telling people that what they think and have been taught for years is glorifying God with their body is actually sin. So Paul was basically saying, hey guys, you can't do what you've been doing because you're not your own. You don't own you. Paul is saying, you guys like to use your bodies to sin, so how about you guys use it to glorify God instead? So how do we glorify God in our bodies? I mean, the first thing, obviously, in my mind is by cleaning up our temples. I guess you guys think by now that I mean like, oh, well, you need to lose weight, you need to be healthy, all that stuff. It's not really the outward appearance that glorifies God. I mean, you know, you don't want to be like this. People aren't going to talk to you. Like, they're going to, if you like actually smile at people, then they want to talk to you. They want to stop and say, hey, they're more likely to talk to you. So, yeah, you don't want to, you know, look like, who's that, what was the prime minister, Gordon Brown, you guys remember him, of England? They made a song about him. It was like, Gordon Brown, and he'd have like a frown on his face. So, I mean, you don't want to look like that guy. Your body only has one job, and that's to get you through life so that you can wrestle with some angels or some demons. Or, you know, chase around kids until they grow up. But speaking as a younger person, I've really noticed that my generation is really concerned with beauty and our outward appearance. We care too much for materialistic things. We chase after so many things. But it's really not about all those things. And I've come to see that usually in dating nowadays, the prettier the package, the more damage the inside. Wow. The spirit is what holds all the weight in life. And when I met Elizabeth, I thought, this girl is so hot. I was like, she doesn't want anything to do with me. She looked like a model, and she had tan skin, and her curt. Well, you guys don't need to know about all that, but anyway, yeah, I was 100 pounds overweight. I was walking with a cane. I hadn't had a haircut in months, and I was carless when we met. So she actually had to give me a ride to work right after we met for the first time. So I was a little down on life. You know, I had just broken my leg and everything, and I was just trying to get back into the swing of things. But yeah, I was a little down on life, and I had looked like I had a lot going on. And I still ask her to this day, I was like, what did you see in me? And she always says, I don't know what it was, but I was just drawn to you. She said, I knew that there was something inside of you that I had to know. And so for me, it was my thoughts, or what I believe is my thoughts, morals, and idea. ideas that glorified God and shone through me in spite of my outward appearance. My heart glorified God, and others could see it, even if I didn't think that they could. So we are so focused on the outside and what it looks like, we completely discount the glory resting in someone sometimes. We as a church, or as a collective body, I believe, are so focused on throwing up curtains on the inside of our temples so that people can't see what's really going on. We hide the cracks in the wall, a ceiling that's about to collapse, all because we don't want other people to see what's going on inside of us. We want them to see what we want them to see. This is why social media is so popular, because you get to control what people see. They don't get to see any of the bad things about you. They see all the positive things. And so it makes them look very good to one another. So we want people to see us as our best version of ourselves. But this is a place for the broken. This isn't for the ones that have it all together. It's a place for the ones that are trying to get it all together. And I really don't understand it because, you know, just saying, in church, I have met some of the fakest people in church. I have met some really fake people that say one thing and then you see them out in the world and they're completely different. And I think that that's why people say that Christians sometimes are horrible people. I think it's because of, you know, those people who just want people to think that they've got it all together. So a while back, you know, when this whole pandemic started, Elizabeth asked, "What do you think of this? What do you think of this pandemic?" And I said, "It's just a physical representation of what's already taking place with social media." When social media came out, you know, the whole buzz was, you know, it's going to keep us more connected. It's going to draw us closer together. And that was kind of true, because now we can kind of see everything that we do if you post it on there. But at the same time, it's kind of destroyed relationships and made people more acquaintances than friends. Because you're looking from a distance now. And one of the things that Pastor John says is social media lets you look into another person's life without actually having to have a personal relationship. So it has made us closer, but at the same time, it's kind of pulled us further away. We can't really be honest with one another. We have to keep our distance. Make sure people see the best of who we are. They can't know what we struggle with, because they might see the cracks in the wall and they might notice the holes in the floor. So what are you doing to further the Holy Spirit's ability to move through you? And for me, I've narrowed it down in my life to three things. Number one is prayer. There has to be a relationship in order for the Spirit to dwell in you. And this has to happen daily. This is a daily walk. Have you eaten your bread throughout the week? I encourage you, if you haven't, to do that. God is jealous for you, and He wants you to involve Him in everything that you do. Get your daily bread and develop an intimate connection with the Father. There's nothing like it. He wants to guide you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to be there to hear you, to hear your cries. He wants to know it all. And so the second thing that I've got, which is a little bit more difficult for me, it might be easy for you guys, but is to listen. God really wants to talk. And He really wants to tell you what He sees, what He thinks, what His plans are. He is open to speak if you're open to listen. The trick is trying to figure out how to listen, in which we've had so many classes and courses on that. You know, just being still to listen. And the third one that I had was obey, which is also another tough one for me. Listen to what God wants you to do and then do it. Obedience brings a new level of relationship to the table. A year ago, God told me, I want you to pray on this dirty, stained, dog-infested hair rug. I want you to pray on that every night. And I would, like, get down on my hands and my face on that rug. And I prayed every night. And I had no clue why. He never said, oh, well, you're going to do this because of this. No clue why. So I just kept praying every night on this rug for 30 minutes. Sometimes it would be an hour and a half. Sometimes, you know, 15 minutes. But I always made it a point to get down on this rug and pray. And then things started to happen. We started to get blessed by other people. People started to just really hand us money. Just out of the blue. Yeah, we were just so blessed. And then the awesome part was when our kids would come down and they would sit on this rug and watch TV, they would just start to weep. And Sophia, one day, she said, Daddy, I'm crying, but I don't know why I'm crying. She's like, I'm not sad. And so when we started to obey, that's when the glory of God showed up. And just to illustrate, you know, this point of not being, like, the outside doesn't have to be perfect. When I went to Virginia Tech, I went to this crew meeting, which is Campus Crusade for Christ. And they were having this worship night to glorify God. And they had people who were singing that had no business being around a microphone. I mean, it was a holy racket for sure. It was crazy, but yeah, it was a joyful noise for sure. And I'm sure you guys have all been there and heard it. But to say that it sounded like starting a car with a cat on the hood would have been a compliment. Even though the singing was horrible, do you think that the meeting still glorified God?
Yes.
It did. Absolutely. People were still saved. People rededicated their life. And people still had that connection with God. So when you are willing to give, then that gives God the chance to use you regardless of how you look or who you are. So, you know, like there's been a lot that has been, you know, preached already this morning, but I think this really adds into it. So what does God want you to know today? This is what I felt like. That you are a temple for the Spirit, the same Spirit that was with the Father at the beginning of time. I believe that He wants you to know that He sees your hurts. He sees the cracks in the wall. He knows your temple is only held up with bubble gum sometimes. But He is content to dwell there. And then I wanted to go to 1 Chronicles 17, verse 5. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 5. For I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up Israel to this day, but I have gone from tent to tent and from dwelling to dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus David, the Lord of hosts, I took you from your pasture and from following the sheep to be the prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make your name like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place of my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place, being disturbed no more. So he doesn't need a house. He doesn't need something, you know, fancy to dwell in. He walks into your temples, he sees the cracks and the holes, and still considers it to be the Holy of Holies. He doesn't need much, just a willing vessel. He doesn't need a Four Seasons hotel. So I want to leave this to you guys and wrap up with this. and say that he lives in you and dwells in you. He bought you for a price, and that means that you have value because you were purchased with a price. Amen. So you are valuable, and we as Christians are valuable. We as a body are valuable. So I think that we should probably start acting like it. And I wanted to pray for you guys. And then I'll hand it back to Pastor John. Like I said, this was started off as like a health and wellness type thing, and then kind of God just kind of flipped it on me and said, well, what are you doing? You know, like the outside's great, but, you know, what are you doing on the inside? So I hope that maybe this convicts you a little bit like it did me. And I hope that you guys got something from it. But Lord, we just come before you, Father. And Lord, we know that you see everything that goes on in our spirits. We know that you see the holes, you see the cracks, you see all of the imperfections. And Lord, we just commit ourselves today to work on those things. Lord, to make our spirits more conducive for your spirit, to make our temples more conducive to your spirit. Father, we lay it down to you. The things that we have inside, Father, we just lay it down. We give it over to you. And Lord, we just take down all of the curtains that we use to hide the things inside of us. We just take those down and we lay them at your feet. Father, you are the one who can repair all the damage. You are the master carpenter. We hand it over to you, Father. We give all these things to you. For you are the truth, the way, and the light. Amen.